Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for this week and your body and your spirit. And thank you for everything that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord. And please continue to speak to us. Amen. This week has been a week of rest and healing for me. Let's open in Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 4. I'm just translating from my Romanian Bible. It's like, my love, you are so beautiful. I will not preach about my wife today. My love, you are so beautiful. But you are terrible, like an army. I will not preach about my wife this morning. But we are like this. This is a description of us disconnected from heaven. We are so terrible. We are so empty but terrible, unsatisfied, and ready to battle. But then when we are connected to Jesus, we are so beautiful, so satisfied, so amazing. So this is a great subject about connecting heaven and earth. When I have a hole in my socks and I have to keep the socks, I take a thread and a needle, and I sew the two parts. Like I take the same thread through both parts, up and down. And then when I pull, a miracle of physics happen, is that the same thread is in the same time in both parts, so they get connected. And people try to connect from earth to heaven, like shooting up a thread so that they would grab heaven and pull it close to earth. We see when Cain and Abel, they did a sacrifice, that the Lord did not look with pleasure to what Cain offered. And why is that? What was the difference between what Cain offered and Abel offered? The difference was the blood. Because I tell you, no good works of man will ever enter to heaven. There's nothing that man did right that will be found on heaven. But it is so beautiful that in John 3, the thread came from heaven. He came from above. In John 3, verse 13, that nobody shot the thread from earth to heaven, but Jesus came down from heaven, the Son of Man, and in the same time, He is in heaven. You see that miracle of pulling the string, and they're both in the same time, in the same place, in Jesus. And He came as a high priest, but not to help our thread to get to heaven. Like, I am your high priest, come on, fill this basket with all your good works, and I will take them to my Father. Because nothing from earth, from man, can enter into heaven. But what did He do? The moment in Hebrews 9, verse 12, the moment that he became flesh. His life became blood, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So in Hebrews 9, verse 12, he entered into heaven with his own blood. You see the thread? He came from heaven, and then he went to heaven. And then the story in us, he sent the Holy Spirit. And this is the connection. We are such an important part of the love of God, of the grace of God, because it, in us, it is realized. In us, heaven is connected to earth. In us, we are not terrible and disconnected, but we are beautiful and connected. So what we do now is that we are sowing heaven and earth. Wherever we are, we are sowing. Heaven touches earth, and things are and transformed, and we are so beautiful as we live in the whole house, not the terrible first floor, but the whole house. We are not trying to be beautiful on the first floor, but we are terrible. But let's not get discouraged by that, because we are beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That was me. Why don't you stand up and just think about that. Sewing your thread to heaven. Sending up a thread to heaven right now. Just say something to one of your neighbors. Are you shooting up a thread to heaven this morning? That's awesome. It's great. Pastor Mihal, just want you to know there's a super Walmart nearby. We'll go buy you a pack of socks. You know? It's like, because none of us guys want to start sewing socks to keep them. All right. All right, our next speaker comes to us from Helsinki, Finland. All right, all the Finns, go ahead. Ready? Give it up for your guy. There you go. Would you welcome Pastor Juha?
Well, yeah, we have quite a large group of Finnish people here. And really, that's our yearly call to come up here and be with you and enjoy the conference and the fellowship and the Word of God. And really, this week we have enjoyed so much. It has been such a relaxing and refreshing time. So it is a great honor to be a part of you. Okay, shall we pray? Lord, we just ask you to also bless this short portion, and we just come to you and reach out for you, because we know that all the life comes from you and from your heart. So that's why, Lord, we just come to you and ready to receive from your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And also, I also want to speak about the Song of Solomon. And I was just reading this passage from chapter 4. And thinking how this This book is so tremendous picture of a relationship what the church has with Jesus. And I was just thinking the potential which is hid into the body of Christ in the church, and how amazing fruit and power of God is hid into the body of Christ. Like last night we were marching, the mission march, and we were together, and Pastor preached at the end, and I was just thinking how beautiful this body is, and the whole church of Jesus Christ, and how much there's a life in it, really, real life, which is not, we are not able to measure, of course. But here in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 says, "Your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb, honey and milk under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like a fragrance of Lebanon. A garden closed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed." Like the potential is there, but in a way it's closed and shut up. And there's this fruit and fragrance which is a potential, so rich potential in a church. But and then the bride goes on and it's explained everything which is in her. And then she is answering for him in verse 16. He says, "Awake, O north wind." She says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Let my beloved come in his garden and eat its pleasant fruits." So she knows that she's closed in some measure. And the potential what is in her cannot flow out freely. And that's why she is saying to him, like, and asking the wind come and blow into her garden and make the fragrance and fruit free for everybody. I was just thinking this beautiful set up the flowers here, and when I was sitting there and seeing this beautiful setup here, and this is like a picture of beautiful garden, and I don't know, this might be plastic, but anyways, it's a picture, right? And it needs wind to make the fragrance free and flow and fill this room. And I was just thinking how Jesus is blowing into his church so that the potential would be free out. And that is what he does. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk." And you know, so the potential is freed. And now it's available. And he has enjoyed that. And I like the missions what we have, and different missionaries. Like we have our Kenyan missionaries here, Pastor Jukka and Helena. And it's just great to. I visit in Kenya like once a year, and I go and see how things are there, and how the work is really great. There's a small church, but there's so much life in it. And the fragrance and the fruit is so obvious. And it's so enjoyable to take part of it and eat it. Like Jesus is enjoying the fruit of the Spirit and the fragrance which comes out. And the potential is so great, but we just need the wind. We need His, when He blows into his church. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21, when Jesus is raised from the dead, and he goes and meets his disciples. In verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, and as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breatheth on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So he blows. He's breathing on his people, and because of his breath is there, the potential is freed out, and it's available for so many. Because our natural man is there's so great potential for evil, as we know. We see in the world how much there's a wars and so many evil things, and there's a great potential for this in a natural man, and that's why it's so great to think that we are dead with Christ and we are living for Him, and now His Spirit is making us alive, and the Spirit of God made the first Adam the living soul, as you remember, and now the second Adam, second man, who we are together with Christ, you know, we are made alive, and even living life-giving Spirit. And the church is life-giving Spirit today for so many people. And when we are reaching out and seeing people in their needs and giving out Christ for them, and the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit and the fragrance is so obvious. I have a friend in Finland, and he used to have a coffee shop. And sometimes there wasn't so many customers at the coffee shop, but he had a small trick what he did. You know, people walked by the coffee shop and didn't come in, but what he did, he opened the door and you know, make coffee there and spices there, and when you know, people walked by and they were cut by the fragrance, they were like, whoop. And you know, the great fragrance, you know, they draw the people into the coffee shop. And I was just thinking that, like, the church is something like this. The fragrance, the knowing of Christ is flowing out, and we are drawing people into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And also in Acts chapter 2, we know that when the Holy Spirit and when the disciples were gathered together in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and when the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled with the whole house where they were sitting. Then the beard appeared, the the divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So I see here also the same picture, the Holy Spirit, the life from God, you know, came, and the church was started. And from that point on, you know, Jesus has been breathing on his church, and so that we are together with him, life-giving spirit for so many people. And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that that it's a fragrance of knowledge of him, right? And that's what we learn in a church, knowing him better and better, so that the fragrance would go out and reach out for the people. And also it's for us, you know, when we listen to, when the pastor is preaching and somebody is ministering or singing to us, we are receiving all the time by the Spirit, not just the letter, because we know that the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And that's why we are just receiving, and not just receiving, but also pouring out. And I'm so glad to be a part of this church, and have been already for quite a few years, since 1975. So, praise God. And we are going forward, right? Having the flag of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you so much that we can be your pride, and we are following you. And we are so happy, Lord, that you are breathing out upon your people, that the fragrance would go out and draw people in. And we feel so privileged, Lord, that we can follow you, and you are our shepherd. You are our Lord. We just worship you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 10. While you're turning there, a great privilege, to be here and to stand in your presence. I'm honored, and that God would allow us, you know, to receive impartation together is really just above measure, isn't it? What He allows us to receive, and how He builds us up, and our prayer, you know, just as we are continuing in that spirit, that God would give us just a real, you know, spiritual truth for this time too. Here in, hey, how's my family doing? Are we here? I take roll. I mean, you know, I was, you know, I don't know why I do these things, but like it was Father's Day, you know, and I count the gifts, like, okay. And they realized it. All right, who didn't send me a card? Who didn't give me a gift? And someone always falls short. I mean, someone has to, right? Who was it this year that fell short? Are we allowed to talk about that stuff? Hey, I think we have, like, the real miracle is I'm speaking last, and I got the pulpit, and I got it early. How did that happen? That's like a real, so I really have, like, a lot of time. Till they throw me out. All right, you're done. Leave. All right. You probably know my children. Which one you think wouldn't have sent me a card this year? No? Probably. Hey, would my family stand up if they're here? I'm taking roll. Stand up. Hey, David's here. Mr. Ryan. All right, who's not here? How about like from the church in Tennessee? If you're from the church in Tennessee, Tina, And are the Keens here? I know they're here. Maybe not. Thank you, guys. Great support since they have to run the church because I'm gone half the time. And boy, they do such a great job, I think. No, I know. It's still there. They must be doing a good job, right? It's the work of God. Here in, I want to tell stories, but what story could we tell? Who could we tell a story on? Let's see. Hey, you want to hear like a short missionary story? Okay, sure. This was our last trip. Pastor Manny came with us to the Philippines in April. And we had the privilege of doing a youth camp. It became an international youth camp, but we brought some youth too. We had, and we never know what we're walking into. You know, it's 40 churches, 450 youth were there, right? And we were like blessed. And of course, we were like the keynote preachers, which we're not even aware half the time. Don't know what the theme is, you know, we're just showing up. And I think, well, these kids are probably all saved, you know. They're church kids, right? But we know better, right? We really know better. And so we're like, you know, we're preaching the first night. And I said, well, maybe we'll do a salvation call. And five kids raised their hand. And like, wow, man, that was amazing. But the next night, it was like God just had us preach on really being saved. You know, like, because it's amazing. You can be in a church and just not be saved. Is that possible? You know, it's almost like this. It's like, you could be in the church and not really hear the voice of God. Is that possible? That's really scary, isn't it? Is it happening to you? I mean, could it happen to you? Yeah, it could, you know. It's amazing how things can get in the way and like we just don't hear the voice, right? We know what to say. And doctrine, man, we are so good. You know, you ask us a doctrinal question, and we can tell you the answer, can't we? But like, have we tasted the answer? You know, it's a big difference, isn't it? I think this is like where heaven meets the earth. Okay, second night, we preached. Second, I'll keep it on my chin. I'm notorious for this. Second night, we preached. 40 of those kids got saved. We were blown away. And I love how God does it, because I'm preaching, and, you know, kids are laughing and they're mocking. You ever have, you know, it's 450 kids, right? And they're away for the week. They're not really, like, listening to the preaching, we would say is the highlight, but not for them. But it is for us. But God had a plan. And just because of, like, holy boldness, like, I would just walk up to every kid that was laughing or talking to somebody and rebuke them. And, you know, I mean, like literally walk down the aisle and stand in their faces and saying, you know, if you're here and you're laughing, I wonder if you're saved. And you know what? 40 of them received Christ that night. And then 15 the next night, 60 children received Christ in 3 nights. Isn't that amazing? That's just the work of God. And we had, who do we have? John Odahara came with us and shared. His son preached. Texas Greg's son preached a great message. We really just, God just gave us a time. It's just, and, you know, it's just the work of God. For us today, here in Song of Solomon 2:10, and, you know, the Lord speaking, or we would say, my beloved spoke. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. And he says to me, and maybe he says to you also, or maybe he's not said in a while, but like maybe we could hear him say, you know, rise up, my love. Just the graciousness of God. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Isn't that amazing? Here's a call from God. Rise up, my love. Leave everything else behind. And will you just come away with me? I think we could do it, can't we? I think we have to. I think it's like a big call. Boy, life can get busy, can't it? Responsibilities are high. We have a lot of duty, don't we? You know, and we're very diligent to do it. But here's the Lord saying, come away. Come away with me. For like the winter is past. The ideal is we would think like our time of not fruit bearing, a barren time, a time when my trial seemed bigger than God. You know, he's saying, hey, it's past. It's past. Well, you might say, but it's still here. He's saying, but you know what? It's past. Why? Because you can come away with me and receive everything that you need to walk the walk that I am calling you to walk. Will you come away with me? Will you hear my voice? Will you lay aside the winter season of your life? I mean, we all have them, you know? We're not like denying things, but we're saying we have like a higher call. And we have a privilege that like when something comes, we have a place to run, and it's away with the Lord. And he's calling, he's saying, hey, wait a minute, come on. Even with the disciples, let's go away. And the gospel says, come away with me and let's be refreshed. Refreshed in who we are. Refreshed in what I've done. Refreshed in the ability I instill in you to grab a hold of eternity and walk the walk that I've caused you to walk. You know, this great disconnect we seem to have is that we know the truth, but like we don't possess the truth. And it's a big disconnect. It's really like trouble. It's like super dangerous. I during the conference, I felt like I was gaining weight. And one, not too bad, just one, well, 1 kilo in 3 days is a lot, I guess, but that's a lot of food here, right? And you could walk by those booths and go, man, that looks like good food, and that smells like good food. And then you taste it, and you know, because it's really good food, because you tasted it. And I don't know how I instilled this in my children, but for some reason they bring me food. I got, because I'm too lazy to go up to the counter myself, I think. I know. Like, hey, somebody get me some food. So I'm always getting fed, and I'm saying, man, this is good. And I got to be a partaker of it because I actually, you know, I took it in. I knew it was there, right? I knew it was there. And I could tell you, hey, it smells like good food there. And we do this with doctrine. We do this with truth. I know that truth. But will I taste it? Will I go away with the Lord? Will I allow him to make that truth I know about for me to taste it and for it to become my truth? It's called being. You know, when they say being a witness, it means an actual partaker of it. God wants us to be a partaker of his grace in every area of his life. The winter's gone. The rain is over. The flowers appear on the earth. I think probably everybody loves spring. Are they real? Hey, of course they're real. We wouldn't put no plastic flowers. Maybe we would. Oh, one of my daughters did this thing. My wife, you should see the garden she plants. She makes my house like a garden. Everywhere there's flowers. I look out the window. She's out there like every day, and I just take in the beauty. I looked up this word turtle here, you know, and you know, you could preach on a verse, you should look it up. And I'm thinking, man, what does a turtle sound like, you know? But it was a turtle dove. It made me feel better. I'm thinking, I see turtles. I always avoid them on the road when I'm driving, you know? And I'm thinking, but I never really heard a turtle. But it says, you know, you know how we are. A turtle, heard the turtle, the voice of the turtle. I'm like, man, I wonder what kind of application we could get on that, you know? But I knew there was one there. You just gotta You just have to taste it, you know, and see it's really there. So it's actually a turtle dove. I was so relieved. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know how I was going to, maybe I thought I was just going to skip over that part of the verse there, you know, because that's what men of God do when they don't understand. So I'm just skipped it. That's someone else's sermon. The flowers, the voice of the turtle dove. We actually have a couple turtle doves that showed up at our house. Is that what they are in that? Is it turtle doves? And, huh? Morning doves. I don't know. Is that close? It's a dove. Hey, here in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3, this idea. His fruit was sweet to taste. Isn't it amazing? How's it taste? Some stuff don't taste too good, does it? You ever get like a bad taste in your mouth? Not here at the convention, of course, but other times, never here. But you know, this, it's in 1 Peter 2, right? We taste and we see, right? What do we see? Ooh. We see the Lord is gracious, right? 1 Peter 2:3, like a newborn babe. I like the idea is that, like, we don't know anything as we ought, of course, you know, in 1 Corinthians 8. But we're tasting and we're seeing. What are we tasting and seeing? We're desiring the sincere milk, like you're in this, Lord. You know, and I, you know, we can just boldly say, it doesn't matter what the trial is, the Lord's in it, right? Because the Lord's in you. But somehow we need to taste, right, and see, Lord. It's like our foundation. I've got to taste you in this situation, Lord. I mean, I've got to have, you know, it hasn't changed. I've got to have your presence in my life. I have to hear your voice. Lest I'm just left alone thinking I know something, or I have an idea, or I can quote a doctrine, or I can judge, or I can compare, and I just get in trouble. But if I taste, you know what I see? I mean, it tells us, so it makes it kind of easy. If so be it you've tasted that, you know what? The Lord is gracious. Thank you, Lord. You know, hey, we go through some big things in life, don't we? Right? And maybe you're going through one right now. I'd say probably 90% of us are. Maybe 100. I mean, you know, it's not low numbers there, guys. Don't think you're the only one. You know, we all are. We are going through stuff. But this is the privilege we have. We can instantly just go away with the Lord and receive what? Everything that we need for the current circumstance, for the current problem, for the current trial. He's saying, come on and taste and see. Don't think about it. Come. Just like, you know, we know Matthew 11, verse. Come to me, and you know what? I have rest for you, right? Come to me and let me instill my peace in you. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's going to talk about being a witness. I want to make a statement about money, which probably I shouldn't, but I will anyway. They that would be, in verse 9, they that be rich would fall into many temptations and a snare. How have you done with that? Anyone trying to get ahead pretty good there? Is that working for you? You know, you got the job. God's blessed you. You know, you're finally going to make something. It has a lot of snares with it, doesn't it? You know, I mean, it just does. So we don't want, you know, do we want to provide for our families? Yes, you know, of course we do. But what are we going after? We're going after the Lord and His will. So something happened in this last month, but I have a lot of people come, not to me, of course, because people are weird. They want to do things indirect. But to other people in my church, and they go, is Pastor Drew rich? I'm like, wow, does Pastor Drew have money? thinking, I do. I don't even know how it happened. We're just giving and going and doing. You know, raising 10 kids. I'm out of the country 8 or 10 times a year. And one day I looked around. I said, what happened? I got rich. I don't even work. As my sons would tell you, they work. I don't work. I tell them what to do. And just so if you were wondering, yeah, I am. I don't know how. And I mean, it could be gone tomorrow, you know. Look, watch this here. I think I got like $60 in my pocket. That's pretty rich, isn't it? Now you're wondering again. But remember, the love of money in verse 10 is the root of all evil. Watch out after that money. Okay, but here's our point is actually verse 11. Hey, but you, O man of God. Hey, but you, O man of God. You, O woman of God. Flee the things of the world. I want you to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And I want you to fight a good fight. Now, I love the way he describes the good fight here. Because the good fight is fought by laying hold of eternity. And this is the privilege we have. You know, when Christ says, come away with me, my love. You know, let me refresh you. You know, laying hold means for it to become our possession. And we're becoming possessors of eternity. That the things that we do, you know what? We have the privilege that they can be eternal. Yeah, we can do natural things. We know that. But we can grab a hold of eternity in the things that we do. In what things? In everything that we do. He's saying, grab a hold. Lay a hold of eternity. Let it become part of your life. Because you know what? That's the call for your life. Right? We do because of who we grab a hold of. Right? You know, if you grab a hold of something, that's what you're doing, isn't it? Whatever has grabbed your heart, right? Whatever has grabbed your mind, that's where the purpose is, right? We know the verse, out of the abundance of the heart. And he's saying, grab a hold of me. And I know that we are. That's why we're here. And I know that we do. But let's not disconnect what we know and who he is, but let's let him come in and really, like, we grab a hold of him and we let the Lord just really grab a hold of us, like right now. What does it mean if we let the Lord just really grab a hold of me? It does something, and it's an amazing principle. He says that thou would profess a good profession, that you would begin to speak about that which has grabbed a hold of you and you have grabbed a hold of. I want you to speak about me. Get a good confession. Professing a good confession. And now here's the disconnect problem. We know how to speak the right things, don't we? Right? How you doing? I'm doing great. Right? We know how to speak it. But are we speaking it because we know how? Or are we professing what we have grabbed a hold of? And now this is where we would have the privilege of making the connection. God saying, I want you not just to speak how you know it should be, or what someone would like you to hear, but I want it to be real in your life. I want you to be possessed by the possession. So that when you say, how are you doing? And you go, absolutely great in the Lord. You know why? Because you've gone away and you have tasted and you have seen. God says, this is what I really want you to do. I don't want to use the word pretend, but you know how we are. I want really to grab a hold of you. so that when you speak it, it is your real, because it is our real life. But somehow it kind of, sometimes it disconnects a little bit. And we remember, wait a minute, God is on the throne. God is for me. Wait a minute, the Lord is ever present to help me in my time of need. And he's saying, and then he charges, I'm charging you in the sight of God. You get on your face before God and you let him touch you where you need to be touched right now, so that you'll profess the really good profession, that you won't play a game of I know and you know, but you'll let it be in your heart, and then you'll really know that you'll taste and see that the Lord is gracious to you. Are you with me, guys? It's a small thing, but you know what? It's really a big, big thing. It's our lives. It's our feet on the ground. And Christ is saying, I don't want you out there without the full strength of who I am, because you're just going to get yourself in trouble, right? So he goes on. So he says, I'm charging you in the sight of God who quickens all things before Christ. Thank you, Lord. What's he do? He quickens all things before Christ Jesus. Who does it? Christ brings it to life again. We walk before God. Walk in his integrity. Hear his voice. Doesn't matter what anyone says or done. You follow God. You hear the voice that says, come away with me, my love, and taste and see. Come away with me and be refreshed. And he says, and look at the examples that he gives us. Who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, right? What was it? Standing before Pilate. We can read it. I think I've preached it before. Is it in John 19? I think. You know, this is the kind, and this is like, and the reason he could say this, not because he knew about it, but because he tasted and he seen and he walked in it, and so do we. And we want to be careful lest it slips away a little bit. And next thing we know, we're speaking something without living it, which is the great danger for the believer priest, right? We got to keep living it. We got to keep receiving it. We got to keep walking by faith. We have to receive a charge that I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do. And in that, I'm doing everything that needs to be done. You know, we should never have to say, look, guys, I mean, I got a small church. We don't ever have to say that. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you got two people. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You don't ever even have the concept of that you're not measuring up. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Will you lose it? Just lose it. It's not the Spirit of God. Anything that makes you lower than perfect in Christ is not the Spirit of God. He's got a high call. He's got a holy calling, and he's calling us up here. Come on up here and think with me. You know, in Colossians 3:1, set your affections where? Why? Because you're dead. Don't you know that projection the devil's giving you is a lie? Why in the world are you tasting that? Why don't you come away and taste and see me, right? Then you'll be able to profess the good profession like Christ could do in front of Pontius Pilate. Let's read it if I can find it. Somebody's probably already there. Hey, it's in red. I got it. It's the only thing in red on the whole. No. Okay, John 19:11. Here's Christ's response. Well, here's Pilate's enticement. Maybe you've heard this from people. Don't you know I got power over you? Isn't that what hey, don't you know I got power? Well, that's what he wants the response to be. Don't you know I got power over you? I could crucify you, and I can release you. What do you think of that? You won't bow to me? Pretty good temptation. If I say yes, will you let me go? Right? But here's Christ's profession. No power. Oh, you got nothing. World, you got nothing. Devil, you've got nothing. Trials, you've got nothing. Physical health, you ain't got nothing. Finances, you ain't got nothing. Except, thou could have no power accept what is given to you from my Father. That's how it works. That's the real confession. Where am I at? Right exactly where God would have me to be. Amen? That's our confession. Why? Because it's true. And he's saying, come on and think with me and set the affection of your heart in that reality and forsake all others' reality. Start to confess a good confession. I like it here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, he just gives us a finally, brother. Hey, finally. Hey, wait a minute. Right now, finally. Here's how I want you to think. Whatever things are true. Not truth on the earth. Not the truth. I'm just telling the truth. No, you're a liar. God's the author of truth, not you. God's the author of truth, not your circumstances. Whatever are true, whatever is true from God Almighty, right? Come on, we get this right, okay? I don't want to ever hear, I'm just speaking. No, you're not. You're lying, and you're using the Bible to do it. Speak the truth, whatever things are true. Look at this. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. Wow. Think that way. Can I do that? Oh, yes, you can, because that's what Christ calls us away to do. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
To stand just for a moment. Oh, I can tell you don't want to. Just stand, raise, you know, praise the Lord. Give your neighbor a high five. Praise the Lord. Just say, thank you, Jesus. God is good to us. Pastor Nard, do you want to come up for a minute with your wife? Come on up. Let's see. In the past, we had some. Let's see, what did we do? We did Russian pastors, right? How about that? How about the Indian pastors just come on up in Nepali? And Pastor Nards just came too. You can be seated if you like. Okay, Pastor Nards.
Good to see you. You want to introduce your wife to everybody?
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a word.
Okay. Hi, how are you? Thank you for praying for us, and we finally made it yesterday afternoon. And it's always been my desire to introduce my wife to the body, and we have this privilege today. And this is my wife, Sharmi. Just coming here has been a real challenge for us. We actually left home on Monday afternoon, and here we are. And just a short testimony of how God really worked during this trip. And we applied for the visa, and we had applied as a family before, and we had been rejected. So this time we were kind of apprehensive, but we lifted it up in prayer, and I shared with the body that my wife will be applying for a visa. And it was amazing, and God really came through, and she got the visa without any problems. And as soon as we got the visa, and we found out my wife is pregnant again. And she was really struggling, because this is like more than 2.5 years after her second pregnancy. So she was really feeling it in her body, and she was not doing well. So it was a question of whether she was going to travel or not. So But my wife was said, you know, I'm going to go, you know, and she said, however she felt, you know, that was not the point. God had opened a door, so let's do it. Let's go. And so we, you know, we left home on Monday afternoon. And as we are traveling and we're driving, you know, we are two-thirds of our way to Kathmandu. And right on the bridge, there is this truck that's tilting on the edge. And the road is closed. And when we inquire with the policeman how long it's going to take, and they said, we don't know. It could take a day, take the whole night, the next day. Sorry, you know, we can't let any vehicles pass through. So we're wondering what we're going to do. We have a flight the next day. And but then after an hour and a half, the police officer in charge made a decision and said, okay, we're going to let all the small vehicles pass through. So we were able to get through. And praise God. So the next day we were able to catch our flight. And then we flew to Delhi. We had to stay a night in Delhi. And the next day we had a flight to London. And as we approached and landed in London, you know, according to our itinerary, there's like a 2 hours window where we can, you know, transit. And we're thinking we have plenty of time. And as we landed, they didn't tell us that the flight had delayed by 1 hour. The scheduled arrival was delayed by an hour. So we're in our mind, we're thinking we have time. And as we go through, recheck in, go through security again, they didn't tell us anything that your flight, you know, you have to hurry up. And then they gave us the gate number, and they said, oh, just go to A10. And we reached A10, and we looked, and there are like five different gates that are A10, A, B, C, D, and E. And by the time we got somebody to talk to and find out, the lady goes, oh, your flight, and you're just like, you know, 5 minutes late or something. And so we had to stay in London for a night, and that's why we got delayed coming here. So, but I mean, praise God, we're here, and despite all the challenges. We didn't, you know, we missed what's been spoken, but we're looking forward to listening to them through the archives. But just the theme of the message, you know, connecting heaven and earth. And this reminds me of 14 years ago when I first went to a Greater Great Conference in India, Mumbai. That was the first time I met the body, first time I met Pastor Schaller. And I wasn't part of the ministry. I was just like visiting. And I remember a message that he spoke from Job 9, you know, about how, you know, there's how Job is asking, is there a man between me and God, or between heaven and earth, you know? And he's looking for a man to be connected with heaven. And there's no man there available. And then I remember him about how he said the hand of God, you know, the hand of Christ is touching heaven, and the hand of Christ is touching earth. And there is a man, and he's Jesus Christ, who is standing in between, connecting heaven and earth. And it I'm reminded that, wow, you know, we have the connection as Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we are the connection, you know, the Christ in us who dwells in us, you know, we are connected, we are connecting the world, you know, to Christ, you know, God is using us. And how that connection is so important, you know, when we come, you know, as a body in the church, as the pastor, speaker, or whoever is sharing the word of God is ministering to us, he's connecting us to heaven, you know, the eternal words that is being shared is connecting us to heaven. And as we go out on outreach, on evangelism, on the mission field, we are connecting heaven to people who are lost, and, you know, connecting them to Christ. And that is my short thought for today. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor. That's awesome.
Okay, so we're going to dismiss you in a minute, but we have Napal here on the stage. This is Pastor Rajan on the end. Come on over, Pastor, just stand. So these two men, Pastor Rajan is in Kathmandu, Pastor Narj is in Pokhara, and God is moving in Napal. I mean, this is so fast, just so amazing what God is doing, and their vision is to reach every district in this this mountainous country, and they're doing an amazing job. There's a radio program. It would take me to take a little time to describe what life is like there and the challenge, but in the mountains, people are reading the Bible and they're coming to Christ, and these country pastors are coming to the Bible college in Kathmandu, studying for 1 month, go back home, take care of their cows and their family, and hauling water up the mountain and down. And I mean, it's a very simple, primitive life in a way, but the hearts of these people, and they're really tough people, and they're like very like they're committed, and what God is doing in this country is very important, because north of there is Tibet in China, and that's a Buddhist capital, Lhasa, Tibet, and that's the vision. Tibet, and then all the region, Bhutan, northern India, Pakistan. A year ago, Pastor Narj was here, last day of the conference, and said that God had put Afghanistan on his heart. And that's another part of the story of this part of the world, with an Afghani man who lives in Delhi, India, in a ghetto area, you could call it, maybe just an area with 6,000 Afghanis who are refugees from the country. And he's evangelizing and he's pastoring. He has a church of about 90 people. And one short story, an Afghani heard that there are Afghani Christians in Delhi. He got a plane, flew to Delhi to meet them. They were 2 weeks together. He became a believer. They baptized him and he flew back to Afghanistan. This is a work of God. This is the Spirit of God moving. This is amazing. Then in India, these pastors, and there are many others too, and Doug, thank you, Pastor Doug and Beth, for your work there. And then, and Pastor Post is a missionary in Napal. Come on over at this end, Pastor, if you want to just for a second. He and his wife, Diane, they're an amazing blessing. They work with Pastor Rajan. And you know, how many of the Indian pastors would you like a team member on your team from here? Only two out of the thousands. Okay, two. Okay, seriously, do you want to have any American missionaries? Anybody? You really do? We need more passion. We need to be convinced. No. You are serious. Is that correct? That American, that's us, you know, if you live here, it is possible to go to India, be on the team, work with a pastor, like Pastor Post is doing in Napal, Doug is doing with the Ganesh and the work there. I mean, it's an open door. Missions is really in the heart of God. And these men are really doing a great job. See, look at their faces. Pray for them through the year. You know, it'd be great to listen to each and every one of them, but because of time, we won't do it. But this is enough. So thank you, men, for your work. Let's have a prayer. Would you stand with me and direct your attention to the stage here? Okay. Father, you have answered prayers for this part of the world, India, Napal. We think of Pakistan, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka. We think also of other Asian, Burma, Malaysia, Singapore. This is your work. Thank you for these men. They are faithful in the little things, and therefore they'll be responsible over much. Thank you for everyone in this auditorium, for everything we have heard this morning, for your love amongst us. Thank you for your spirit moving in these days. Bless their work. Encourage them. Keep them. Protect them. Help them. Anoint them. Use them. In Christ's name. Amen.